You either bet big or go home. You gotta risk it to get the biscuit.
Hi there, and welcome to Baseball by Design. I am sportslogos.net minor league baseball correspondent Paul Caputo, broadcasting live, as always, from the Sunday Helmet Hall of Fame in my basement in Fort Collins, Colorado. Today, we're going to be talking about the AA Montgomery Biscuits in Montgomery, Alabama, one of the early goofy minor league baseball logos and mascots. Later on in this episode, I will be talking to actual pastry chef Elizabeth Myers of I Declare Pastry about what makes the perfect biscuit and why biscuits are the perfect baseball mascot. But first, I'm very happy to be joined right now by the general manager for the Montgomery Biscuits, Mike Murphy. Mike, thank you so much for being here.
No, I appreciate you you having us on and talking about the biscuits.
Well, so I'm super excited to talk about this team because, first of all, it was the AA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays when the team first debuted in 2004 after being the Orlando Rays previously. And in 2004, this identity, right, this was pretty revolutionary for a minor league baseball team to have a biscuit, right? To have a confection, to have a baked good, you know, with googly eyes and a butter tongue be its logo and its mascot. So there were some you know, other goofy, you know, minor league baseball logos out there, but this one took the cake. I'm gonna try not to do too many baking references, but this was a pretty revolutionary dip into the sort of wacky era of minor league baseball logos. So understanding that you were not there with the team when this happened, do you have a sense for how it was received when the Biscuits logo and nickname was unveiled?
Yeah, I've heard a ton of different stories about it. So the story that I've heard the most is the team name was announced at a kind of a downtown concert. It was always called Jubilee. So there was a few different bands that would go on. You know, I don't know if it was a summertime thing or what, but the ownership group at the time, you know, people knew minor league baseball was coming back into town. And people were excited about it, and people were really excited. You know, they're building a ballpark right in the heart of downtown. The ballpark itself kind of revitalized downtown Montgomery. And somebody got on stage and said, "We will be called the Montgomery Biscuits." And the entire crowd went silent. And it was just like, wait, are they serious? Like, are they good? And I think just like you, I mean, you've seen it with a ton of other logos. We've seen it recently. I worked with the Richmond Flying Squirrels at the time. They were going through this process in our league recently, Rocket City Trash Pandas. Like, you see this a lot in minor league baseball, where the name comes out first and people start thinking like, what are they doing? Like, are they really going to call themselves the Biscuits? And then you see the logo and it's like, oh, I get it. Like, this is right. This is what it's supposed to be. This is fun. Kids look at this and they say, wow, it's awesome. That's so fun. Adults look at it and say, that's a really cool logo and hat. That's going to look great on a jersey, the color scheme, whatever it might be. So just like minor league baseball in general has done a really good job of having that, the name come out and make people question it, honestly. And it's kind of purposeful, you know, it gives people something to talk about, to say, did you hear that they're going to call the team the Biscuits? Like, can you believe they're going to call the team the Biscuits? And then you see the logo. And you know, ever since, I mean, the Montgomery Biscuits, you know, logos, hats, everything has been one of the more popular ones in minor league baseball. And now, going into the 19th year of the club, and it's still a strong brand within minor league baseball. And like you said, it was kind of the first, I guess, you know, food that became a mascot and became a team identifier. And since then, a lot of teams have come up. There was a huge trend, you know, over the last kind of 5-10 years of teams coming up with a food alternate identity. And that's something people are like, oh, like, are you guys thinking about that? Like, no, we're a food identity every single day. You know, we come up with alternate identities for other things, but we are a food identity every single day. So it leads to a lot of different fun things we can do in the ballpark. You know, we do a biscuit toss every night instead of, you know, throwing t-shirts in the stands. We have a food cart that's dedicated 100% to biscuits. We serve plain biscuits, we serve cheese biscuits, we serve Nashville hot chicken biscuits, we serve sausage biscuits, you know, so like a ton of different things, but it all stems from the name and the logo first.
First of all, now I'm hungry. And second of all, I'm wondering, how come biscuits aren't a more common concession item anyway. I mean, it seems like it's a perfect fit for, you know, for sandwiches and for just sort of snacky handheld food that you would have at a game. I love the notion. Can you tell me a little bit more about the fact that you are launching biscuits into the crowd? Like, how big a deal is that? Are people getting in fights over these biscuits? Can a biscuit survive, you know, the impact? How do you make a biscuit that survives the impact if someone doesn't catch it? I want to know more about the biscuit launch here.
Yeah, so it's, you know, the biscuits are wrapped in tinfoil. And whenever I first got here in 18, this was something that had been going on for a while. And I was like, this is the coolest thing. Like, you see the crowd, like you say, people diving all over the place trying to get a biscuit. Who knows how long these biscuits have been sitting down in the promo area. You know, if you have a long inning and they're sitting there for, you know, 35 minutes or so. But previously, we would shoot them out of the t-shirt gun. And, you know, load a biscuit in the t-shirt gun, shoot it up in the stands. And every year in about July, our t-shirt gun would stop working. And so, like, what is going on right now? Like, why is our, like, we can't figure out the CO2, we can't figure out whatever. And I'd send the t-shirt gun off to get fixed. I'm like, there's some sort of, like, substance in here. Like, oh, I don't know what that could be. It must be, like, whatever. Like, it's grease, it's butter from these biscuits that would leak in and kind of ruined our t-shirt gun. So we've changed now, and, you know, a new logo / mascot that we came up with was a baker. We created a new thing where we did like the year of chicken, where we created a bunch of different chicken concession items, but we created a new logo and a mascot that is a baker that looks like he's riding a chicken. And that is now who throws our biscuits in the stand. So like we do it as a half inning. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Reading Fight and Fills. They have the wacky hot dog vendor that, you know, rides an ostrich. Kind of our play on that idea, but it's the baker throwing biscuits in the crowd, you know, riding around on a chicken.
The crazy hot dog vendor in Reading is obviously a classic, and he's the foundation for their logo, right? Like, he's the reason they have an ostrich logo. This baker mascot of yours, is he replacing Big Mo, or is he in addition to Big Mo?
No, in addition to. You know, it was definitely something where we wanted to you know, create as many different ballpark characters as possible. Big Mo is definitely a staple. Big Mo is a biscuit eating beast, for those that aren't aware. The question that I get most often in my role as general manager, the question I've gotten more than anything else is, what is Big Mo? Because people think he's an elephant, people think he's, you know, an anteater, he's got a long snout. He's kind of like a reddish, almost like woolly mammoth color. And I tell people he's kind of a mix between the Cookie Monster and Alf. If somebody's old enough to remember Alf, Big Mo's got a little bit of that reddish hair and that snout, kind of like Alf, but the personality of the Cookie Monster, where he's just eating every biscuit in sight. So that's our mascot. But yeah, the baker and our rally chicken, are just an additional ballpark character. And like Zach, we call him the rally chicken because, you know, in the ninth inning, if the biscuits are down, we'll bring out the baker and the rally chicken one more time to get the crowd pumped up. And, you know, we'll play some chicken sound effects and some fun videos on our video board and have them, you know, throw some more stuff in the crowd.
This is the fan experience at a biscuits game. Just sounds amazing. I have always described Big Mo as like an aardvark. Your description as Cookie Monster meets Alf, I think, is perfect, right? Like that's a really fun description for him here. So, I mean, it's funny to think about this, right? Because we're talking about the sort of modern era of minor league baseball branding. The biscuits were avant-garde in 2004 when they came out with this brand. It's obviously been super well received. It's been almost 20 years since this brand was unveiled. There's been sort of minor updates and sort of versions of it that have been new, you know, cap logos and that sort of thing. But it's all based on the same sort of illustration of the biscuit with the googly eyes and the hands and the butter tongue. Has there ever been talk? I mean, 2 decades for one brand in minor league baseball is a long time. Has there ever been talk of certainly not rebranding? That would be tragic, but maybe updating the look or revisiting it, refreshing it in any way?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, I mean, every year you kind of have these conversations of what can we do? How can we adjust things? But when we get back to it, I mean, looking at the core logo, the like you said, the biscuit with the googly eyes, it's great. But whether it's the M with the biscuit kind of peering off the side, that's our cap logo, or the Biscuits word mark that has that biscuit kind of peering through the B in Biscuits that's on a lot of our jerseys and things. I think that is, you know, going to always be a staple. Obviously, you know, down the road, there might be some opportunities to upgrade just the artwork itself, mm-hmm. not change a logo, not to do anything, just, you know, kind of clean up things, because now, like you said, it's 20 years old. So the technology in, you know, logo creation and just design is a little bit better than it was. So maybe there's an opportunity, but that's kind of the extent of it that we've looked at from the, you know, the original Biscuit logo, of like making changes or anything like that. Any quote unquote rebranding is not on the page. It, you know, is not in the playbook right now. But maybe a refresh of some sorts, just to be able to do a little bit more with the logo.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned that you've been with the team since 2018. And in that time, you've had some really fun alternate brands, including one. And this, I love when teams do this. You one of the alternate brands that you use, the Greenbow Biscuits, and we'll talk about that mm-hmm. here in a second. The Greenbow Biscuits, you actually put that logo on an ice cream helmet. And I'm a huge ice cream helmet guy. So I have a few Biscuits ice cream helmets in my collection. And that's one of them. The Greenbow Biscuits being featured on an ice cream helmet is
I have one sitting on my desk. If you're missing that one, I will get it in the mail to you. But if you already have it, that's great.
I appreciate that offer. Yeah, it's sitting there in the collection already. So, but I appreciate the offer. But the Greenbow Biscuits was a really sort of a fun alternate brand that you took on that was really well received first in 2018, right? It was the first time you did that was in your first season there. So
yeah, that was a really fun thing to work on. We decided it was kind of a few different things that all came together. We were looking at doing it was like the 25th anniversary of Forrest Gump that year. And we were looking, or 30th, I don't remember which anniversary it was, but just one of the anniversaries for Forrest Gump. And we were, you know, going to do a promo night around that. And then we're going to do a separate promo night that was like a faux back night. That was like, you know, what if the Biscuits existed in like the 60s or 70s? And then we just decided, let's morph the two and let's create it of like, what if Forrest Gump had a baseball team in his hometown of Greenbow, Alabama, when he was growing up as a little kid? So like what games would Forrest Gump have gone to? And of course he would have gone to see the Biscuits, you know, Greenbow, a fictional town in Alabama. And it was, like you said, very well received. We, you know, kind of looked at some of those logos of teams from, again, 60s, 70s eras. And, you know, especially being down here, you look at what the Alabama kind of logo was and what the Auburn logo was, where, you know, it's the mascot that's kind of marching a little bit like the old Mr. Met or the Cincinnati Reds. And we just removed the baseball from their head and replaced it with a biscuit. So it's kind of got that feel to it. And again, it was so popular that we said this has to be more than just a one-time thing. So we did the Greenbow night itself as a one-off theme night, and then kept the hat, and it has now become a hat. We actually created another jersey that goes along every Wednesday. We have Military Wednesday, so we have a military kind of theme jersey where it's a Navy jersey with kind of camo inside the lettering that we designed specifically to match that hat. Because we said, you know, we can't just have this be a one-time thing. This is too good of a logo. This is, you know, too popular of a hat to have it just be, you know, one and done. And it now it's, you know, part of our official collection and, you know, in the rotation every Wednesday.
And I noted when I wrote the article about this for sportslogos.net back in 2018 that it was Brandiose that created this alternate brand. I think the sort of faux back feeling of all that it came through just so great, right? Like, and there's a reason it was so well received. And I'm so glad that it has lived on, past the initial sort of commemoration of the anniversary of Forrest Gump. So that one obviously ties in with your existing identity, the biscuit head instead of the baseball head on the character. You know, there's a lot of ways to connect that to the Montgomery Biscuits, of course. But another alternate you did, you mentioned that you're already a food-based identity, but you also did on Korean Heritage Night, you played as Kimchi. Was it just the Montgomery Kimchi? Was that the name of the team?
Yeah. Yes, the Montgomery Kimchi. It wasn't just a coincidence that it was a food related item. You know, that was kind of a part of the planning process of it. was, you know, as we're looking at it, you know, how do you highlight culture? How do you expand? And in my opinion, I think food is always the gateway to culture. I mean, there's very little I know about a lot of cultures other than, hey, this is the food staple. I've had that, you know, I've tried that food. And that was kind of one of the things we wanted to do was, you know, let that be kind of the forefront of it and let that kind of be the piece that opened the door to art and dance and music and things like that in the Korean culture. And kimchi, for those that aren't aware, kimchi is a fermented cabbage, radish, carrot, like fermented vegetable food item in Korean culture. And it's a staple in their culture, and it's kind of a side item. You know, it's something that's on the table at pretty much every meal. And we said, you know, in the South, biscuits are on the table at every meal. In Korean culture, kimchi's on the table at every meal. So let's go that way. And again, we worked with Brandios on this, and you know, they're amazing at what they do, and they had the great idea of on the jersey itself, on the front of the jersey, it is Korean, I guess, Korean lettering for Korean characters. It says Montgomery in English, and then it says kimchi in Korean. And the thought behind it was that when anybody sees that jersey, they have to ask, what is that? And, you know, and I thought that was a genius thing. It gives you a chance to talk about it a little bit more rather than just seeing a logo or seeing whatever. So that's kind of the quote unquote word mark for it. It again, forces people to ask, what is that? But then they created a character for the hat logo that is a, you know, I guess kind of similar to our biscuit logo, where it's, you know, not quite googly eyes, a little bit more of an aggressive looking kimchi pot with some, you know, cabbage coming out of the top of it. And again, another thing that has been very well received across the country. But here in Montgomery, we have a very large Korean population. And a lot of people always ask, like, really? Like, is that true? And yes, Hyundai Motor Manufacturing of America is based, you know, a few miles away from our ballpark. So we wanted to do something that could, you know, help both in, I guess, kind of a twofold way, help introduce Korean culture to our, you know, normal fan base, quote unquote, normal fan base, and also help introduce minor league baseball to our Korean population here in town. And so we kind of stole the blueprint from the Copa identities that a lot of teams have done around minor league baseball and just put our own twist on it. And again, it has been something that has been amazingly well received. The logo itself and the theme nights along with it have been great, and something that we're gonna do again this year for the third straight year.
Well, it's a really fun logo, and it's a really fun brand. I've always said that, you know, one of my favorite things about learning about minor league baseball logos is that you learn about the country that we live in. And right. I, you know, you say people are surprised. I genuinely never knew that there was a significant Korean population in Montgomery, Alabama. When we covered this for sportslogos.net, we mentioned that it was in partnership with the Alabama Korean Education and Economic Partnership. Such a cool thing to be introduced to through minor league baseball. Right. And then obviously baseball is very popular in Korea as well. So that's sort of a natural relationship there between the team and the community. So that's, I'm a huge fan of that. That's really cool.
I guess a fun story about that, you know, talking about the popularity of Korean baseball. So we started the process of creating that logo in 2019, like in, you know, the summer of 2019, planning to release it for 2020. Obviously 2020, we didn't play a season, and we had a debate, you know, it didn't last very long, but had a debate of, do we release this logo in the middle of like the pandemic lockdown? Because the only sports that are going on that was on TV at the time was Korean baseball. Mm. And it's like, we can tie into that. Maybe we can get something. That's something we can do. And it was very short lived of like, but we don't know if we are going to get the product. We don't know if we're going to get, you know, anything in. Would people want to start buying t-shirts and hats and, you know, things like that. But we don't know when we're going to play it. So we just decided to sit on that for one more year. And it honestly helped a little bit from that standpoint, because we were able to have more conversations with AKEEP. You mentioned the Alabama Korea Education and Economic Partnership, AKEEP, about what they do, how they're helping with students. They're very involved with the school systems here, teaching Korean as a second language or English as a second language to Korean speakers. being able to understand a little bit more of the culture and being able to build it more than just, hey, here's a logo. And I think that's the important thing for any of those that we've done. You know, we have certainly done things that are like, hey, here's a logo, but being able to have that backstory to it, whether it's the Greenbow, we call him Gumpy, is the Greenbow guy. So whether it's Gumpy or our, you know, our Chicken and Baker mascot or the Kimchi mascot, there's a little bit more of a story behind them.
Absolutely. And those stories are what make this brand so much fun. All the various aspects of it. I guess I have to ask, has anyone ever thought to try to put kimchi, which is an acquired taste, to be sure. It's a strong flavor of Korean food. Has anyone ever thought to put kimchi on a biscuit?
So that's not one of the things that we have done. So we partnered with Puma One, and it's Nasoya Foods. You'd probably recognize the logo if you saw it. They're the number one producer of kimchi in the country. It's a Korean-based brand, but they have a California operation. When we released the kimchi logo, they immediately contacted us and were like, we want to be a part of this. And we're like, okay, how? And they came and they did tastings. We created some kimchi menu items in the ballpark. And one of the ones that their chef came up with was kimchi nachos. And it was kimchi on top. It was nachos, nacho cheese, kimchi, bacon, and chives. And it is phenomenal. And that's something that, you know, when we have our Korean heritage nights, that's always been a staple. They also had a kimchi relish that was really, really good. It's almost like a little kind of sweet and spicy flavor to it that we put on hot dogs and hamburgers and put regular kimchi on a lot of stuff. But I don't know that anybody actually put it on a biscuit, but maybe we'll wait for 2023. We'll have kimchi biscuits.
Awesome. Mike, this has been so much fun. There's so many layers to this brand. It's so much fun to talk about. I so appreciate you coming on and chatting with me about it and educating me on everything that you have going on. I just have one more question I have to ask you. What's your favorite way to consume a biscuit? What do you like best on a biscuit?
I'm a big bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit guy. You know, breakfast biscuits are always good, but we have, like I said, we have a biscuit in the ballpark that is a Nashville hot chicken. So it's kind of, you know, slathered in hot sauce. It's a really large chicken. That one might take the cake. So the chicken on a biscuit is always a good play.
I should never have done this interview before lunch. That was a huge mistake on my part. Yeah. That sounds amazing. So you pointed out in our sort of pre-conversation here that one of your logos has a biscuit with bacon on it. Obviously, you know, bacon in minor league baseball logos is pretty popular. You've got Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs are doing that, and you know, the Macon bacon and collegiate summer level. But yours obviously is bacon on a biscuit. So that's a fun version of one of your logos. We talked about kimchi, Gumpy, the biscuit, and bacon. Are there any other food, any other consumables that you guys have going on with your branding?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I guess, not quote unquote a biscuit brand. It's not something you're going to see on a uniform or a hat. But we do have plenty of t-shirts in our merchandise store. But we partnered with the local brewery down the street from us called Common Bond Brewing and created a beer called Crafty Lefty. So
Crafty Lefty. Kind of nice.
the play on a left-handed pitcher, and you know, craft beer, and it's a lemon shandy. It is a very, very great beer to drink on a hot day in Montgomery, Alabama, which we have plenty of those hot days in Montgomery, Alabama. But we kind of created this logo. We again worked with Brandios on this project. They're phenomenal to work with, but the can itself is kind of like a baseball card. So on the front side of the can, it's an image of a player that is throwing lemons, a left-handed pitcher that looks like he's throwing lemons. And, you know, actually sent them some photos of like, hey, here's kind of what we're thinking of, like a quote unquote crafty lefty. And we had a pitcher that year that was a left-handed pitcher that was definitely a crafty left-handed pitcher, like got a lot of outs, but he wore rec specs. Like while he was, you know, he wore like the Oakley specs while he's, and so what we did, we took the logo from the brewery, which it's almost kind of an infinity sign is what Common Bond's logo looks like, and turned that into the glasses on the character. So it's kind of like one of those like little Easter eggs in the can design, where you can kind of look at that and like, oh, that is his logo, that is a biscuit jersey, that is, you know, the baseballs are lemons. And then on the back side of it, it looks like the back of a player card, where it has kind of the stats of the beer. Of, you know, hey, here's here's the flavor profile, here's the alcohol by volume, here's the hops and whatever that's in it, and here's kind of the story of it's a great beer to drink whether you're at the ballpark, you're at in your backyard, or you're just hanging out. But it is again another really fun logo that we came up with and has been a pretty popular thing from a merchandise standpoint for us. And the beer itself is popular within our ballpark.
I feel like I have a lot of research projects now to, go find these awesome things that you guys are working on online. So, and another reason to get to a game in Montgomery, Alabama, for sure. Mike, thank you so much. This is great. Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah, Biscuit at Biscuit Baseball is our Twitter handle. Myself is Murph Roch at Murph Roch on Twitter. So yeah, anything there, but yeah, follow along at Biscuit Baseball, biscuitsbaseball.com. You can see all these logos and see what we're talking about.
I'll obviously share all of that online in the show notes and on social media when this episode goes up. Mike, thank you so much. This has been a blast for me. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I appreciate the time.
All right, everyone, welcome back. I have to admit that this live in-person interview is a little bit self-serving, almost literally. I am here in Fort Collins, Colorado, my hometown of Fort Collins, Colorado, but rather than being in the Sunday Helmet Hall of Fame, where I normally broadcast from, I am in the national headquarters.
Sure.
The national headquarters of I Declare Pastry, that is D apostrophe Eclair Pastries, with head chef, CEO, founder, owner, lead pastry creator, Elizabeth Myers. Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking to me about biscuits.
It is my pleasure.
We are sitting here, and so when I say this is self-serving, we are sitting here next to a tray of your delicious biscuits, which I will refrain from eating while we're talking, but the aroma of these biscuits is wafting in our direction, which is why we're doing this interview in person in the immediate aftermath of a significant snowstorm in here in Fort Collins. So
yeah.
I drove here to make this happen at the tail end of your baking day. So thank you for coming out and talking, or no, thank you for staying here long enough for me to come here and talk to you about biscuits.
Well, I did come out today because apparently all the kids did not have to go to school.
Right. You have been here baking all day. I'm seeing evidence of all the things that you've been baking. Not the least of which is this tray of biscuits.
Indeed, yeah. This was a really good excuse for me to make something that we don't make here every day.
Well, so tell me about the biscuits. I'm looking at them. They're glistening a buttery glow right now. They sure. look amazing. What makes the perfect biscuit?
Well, in my uneducated opinion, coming from North Dakota, I did not have, a lifelong love of biscuits, I suppose. The biscuits I knew growing up probably came from KFC, which is kind of a little bit sad to think about now.
Yeah, those are mostly plastic, I think,
yeah,
right?
I'm not sure what's in those biscuits. It's probably not a whole bunch of butter like what's in these biscuits.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of reading, and what makes a good biscuit, I would say, is plenty of butter. For me, butter is key, as the fat in most baked goods. It has flavor, tenderness, provides some rise. And I mean, given the choice of butter and something else, wouldn't you just always choose butter?
I think butter. Well, so is there controversy over this? Is there disagreement about, you say you're from North Dakota, and so I'm not sure. I guess southern biscuits are a southern delicacy, and which is why a team in Montgomery, Alabama would have biscuits as their mascot. But is there disagreement? Are there regional differences in what you might find in certain biscuits?
I don't know if it breaks down by region or if it's more of family tradition, but I know some bakers like to do a little bit of shortening in their biscuit along with butter. I understand shortening can have its place. It's going to make the biscuit taller and fluffier. It's going to hold its shape a little bit better when it bakes. It's going to stay softer longer if your biscuit happens to hang around for more than, 20 minutes after it comes out of the oven. But shortening doesn't have any flavor. And shortening, to me, is not really something I want to put in my baked goods too much, because I think it just lends fat without lending any flavor. And if I'm going to have the fat, I want it to at least taste good.
Hence the butter.
Hence the butter. Hence so the these butter. Are 100% butter and buttermilk.
Amazing. So what is your favorite thing to put on a biscuit after you've made it?
Oh, boy.
All right, we'll start simple. Sweet or savory?
I have a sweet tooth, as okay. probably is not going to come as a surprise to you. You're a pastry chef.
And most of the stuff that you make is, we're looking at some chocolate peanut butter stuff. We're looking at some things that look like fancy.
Yeah, so we call them jam tarts.
Jam tarts. They look like Pop-Tarts.
They look like Pop-Tarts, but with real ingredients. And so we do make all of our jam fillings for our pastries here. So if I was going to put something on a biscuit, I would probably grab a big old spoonful of our strawberry jam, mm-hmm. or maybe the spiced apple, maybe a pat of butter.
I keep doing these interviews when I'm hungry. It's a real mistake. So the Montgomery biscuits, obviously, they serve biscuits at their ballpark. And we just talked about this. Mike Murphy and I from the team, we just talked about this. They serve them at the ballpark, which seems kind of genius. Looking at these here now, they're handheld. They're, you know, sort of snack size. Why are biscuits not a more popular ballpark concession food?
I think people have just been too close-minded.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, why wouldn't they be? I mean, you've got nachos, right?
Sure.
Kind of a similar concept.
Yeah.
You could put a lot of the same things on a biscuit, some cheese, some type of meat, bacon, something. Serve it in one of those little handy-dandy paper carriers they put nachos in.
I thought you were about to start really speaking my language on this. I thought you were going to suggest serving it in a plastic helmet.
Well, I mean, that is a great idea, too. Why not?
See, now we're going to be rich. I think we're going to be rich from this idea here. Okay. So one of the things I like to do on this podcast when we talk about mascots and we talk about the things that make mascots appropriate for a baseball team, and, you know, why, you know, what an opposing player might be intimidated by when they come, and, you know, mm-hmm. if you're the bear or the cougar or the, you know, whatever, I mean, whatever mascot you might see on a sports team. Obviously, biscuits is not a common sports nickname. What is it about biscuits? What are the qualities of biscuits that make them intimidating as far as being a sports mascot would be?
You know, I kind of think it's a genius approach, because anybody can pick a scary animal,
yeah.
but you pick a soft, fluffy, unassuming biscuit, and people are going to think, oh, no problem. I'm sure that this team is going to be a cinch to beat. And so they let their guard down. Maybe they start getting hungry, their heads aren't in the game, and then your biscuits swoop right in and take it away.
All right. Okay. This was different from where I thought you were going to go with this. Because my thinking on this was, you know, so you're thinking, you know, the other team's going to think they're a pushover and they're just going to let their guard down and the biscuits sweep in and, you know, take them by surprise. I was thinking more of like the long range game, because they say that baseball, it's a marathon, not a sprint, right?
And so, sure.
So a steady diet of biscuits has all sorts of health risks. And so maybe the intimidating thing about biscuit as a mascot is like heart disease. So I was thinking that's, because that's pretty scary.
Well, right? if you feed the opposing team a bunch of biscuits, that's maybe before the game,
right?
They might be a little sluggish.
Yeah,
not
right?
rounding the bases as quickly.
See,
yeah. That's a possibility.
I mean, I want to take a nap just sitting here looking at these right now, and I haven't even had any yet. So.
Right. I do love the idea of a food item as a mascot.
Yeah.
I mean, that probably doesn't surprise anyone. I like to talk about and think about food pretty much all day long.
Right.
And so I love the fact that this team decided to choose the biscuit as their mascot when that idea was submitted.
There's been a thing in minor league baseball where a lot of teams have alternate brands. Based on local delicacies. But they're alternate brands. So there are very few that have their full primary brand as a food item. Mm-hmm. And so the Montgomery biscuits were I think, the first to do that. I don't know. I'd have to research that to be sure. A lot of alternate brands out there. The Fresno tacos were the first. The Lehigh Valley cheesesteaks are one. The Buffalo wings.
the Delmarva Shorebirds play as the Scrapple sometimes. And so many, many minor league teams have these alternate brands. One in Canada, the Nanaimo Bars. Have you heard of a Nanaimo Bar?
I have heard of them. I have never made them. I've never been quite certain how to pronounce it or exactly what it is, but I think I would like it.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, I'm looking around your kitchen here and I'm seeing there's a lot of stuff that kind of looks like the Nanaimo Bar. So maybe I'm coming back. Maybe we'll do another episode on the Nanaimo Bars in the West Coast League.
Well, it would give me an opportunity to try those out.
So of the things that you cook here,
yes,
of the things that you bake here, I should say, what are the items that you think would make like a really good minor league baseball mascot?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. Yeah. That's tough. I mean, we're talking about these tarts that resemble a Pop-Tart, but I feel like you would just get into lots of trouble.
Naming a team the tarts?
Yeah, for just a lot of reasons.
I think that's fair.
So they're one of our most popular pastries, but I'm not sure we should translate that into a sports team name or mascot.
How about you used to make one, do you make it anymore? The one that was looked like bees.
Oh, yeah, the honeycomb tarts. Yeah.
I think the honeycomb tarts is a great name for a minor league baseball team.
Sure, yeah.
Now your namesake, your kitchen's namesake, the eclair.
Right.
What do you think? Any possibilities there? The they're large, they're imposing, they're stuffed with cream.
They are. Everybody loves them.
Everybody loves them.
So can't go wrong with that. They're somewhat complex, a little intimidating to make. So maybe intimidating as a team to face. yeah, I don't know about the cream puffs though.
The cream puffs, no, they're the Washington Generals of minor league baseball. So we've been talking here now for, you know, a little bit over 10 minutes, and these biscuits have just been sitting here, and they're not getting any less delicious as we've been sitting here. So before I let you go, like I said, I'm not going to eat one of these on mic, but let's bust one open and let's see what you think here. This is a new recipe for you.
Sure.
So we're going to break one open.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking pretty good. I could definitely tell as soon as I put them into the oven, they started rising. All the little pockets of butter were starting to melt, and the steam in the butter was making the dough expand, which is what you want to see.
This is pretty good.
I think this might be a keeper recipe. You know, I'm still willing to try others that are out there. You know, if somebody twists my arm and forces me to make and consume more biscuits, I suppose I will.
Do you know they launch these out of like a biscuit launcher at the games?
That is exciting.
I know.
Has anyone been hurt?
You know, I asked Mike Murphy that question. I don't know that anyone's actually been injured going for a biscuit or you know, getting hit in the head by one accidentally. Because it's, you know, there's a little bit of a crust on the outside, right?
Right. Like
it's
not exactly. Maybe they use shortening so they stay soft. I don't know.
That's the secret.
Right?
That's the secret, too. Well, this is a good pro tip right here. If you're going to be launching biscuits into a crowd at a minor league baseball game, maybe use a little shortening. Otherwise, you know, just stick with the butter.
Yeah, that sounds like good advice.
How can people find out more about I Declare Pastry? And do you ship outside of Fort Collins? Like, can people order from you?
You know, we haven't really been doing that, mostly because our items are made fresh and meant to be enjoyed within a couple of days. We don't use any preservatives or stabilizers or anything artificial in them. And so if you happen to be in Fort Collins, you just give Paul a call and he'll hook you up.
Yeah. I should tell this story, actually, I guess, that you came to a cookout at my house. And I'm a firm believer in not asking people to do for free what they do professionally. And so when you asked what you could bring, I said anything but dessert. And then everyone at the cookout was super mad at me for not asking you to bring dessert. And you showed up with you showed up with a bunch of fruit and a bowl of the custard that you use in your eclairs. And that ended up being a huge hit anyway. So but I won't make that mistake again when we have you over. The Super Bowl's coming up. You know, when we have you over for the Super Bowl, it's okay if you bring dessert.
I'm definitely bringing dessert. I get a little sad when people don't ask me to bring dessert. So I do love what I do, and I don't mind doing it for free for friends.
Oh, my gosh. So So we'll see you at the Super Bowl party. And in the meantime, can people find I Declare Pastry online or on social media?
They can find us online at ideclarepastry.com.
Without the apostrophe.
True, yes. Yeah. I-D-E-C-L-A-I-R pastry.com. We do also, technically speaking, have Facebook and Instagram, but I am terrible at social media, so you can go there, but...
Awesome. Elizabeth Myers, thank you so much for coming and talking about biscuits and the Montgomery biscuits. What's your favorite baseball team, by the way?
Oh, boy. I mean, they're all... grew up watching the Minnesota Twins, I have to say, so they have a special place in my heart. I don't know if I have a favorite minor league team.
That's okay.
But they would be my, you know, just because growing up as a kid, watching the Twins, going to Twins games, yeah, it was a great time.
Okay. Elizabeth, thank you for talking to me about biscuits.
You are welcome. Thanks for coming.